Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. My name is Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California, in our Southern California-based studios where I've been the entire year. And what a year this has been, right? Welcome to the show. It's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. More reaction, more telephone calls coming up momentarily, but let me get right at it. We start hour number three by having a conversation with somebody who spent the last six seasons with the Tennessee Titans. He was the 2017 Titans recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Three-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee while in Denver. Played his college ball at Kentucky, where he was undrafted. He is the co-founder of the 16 Ways Foundation. He is a very good friend of this program. He is Wesley Woodyard. Wesley, good to have you back, my man. How are you?
Jim, Jungle, what's good, fam?
What's good, fam? In fact, before we get into what's going on in the NFL and your thoughts around the league, bring me up to date. How are you doing? How is the fam? How is life?
Man, we're doing good, man. Just accepted a new position. I'm a part-time Little League baseball coach.
Great. Nice. Well done. So let's talk some baseball. Your son, Wesley Grayson, is playing baseball these days. He's swinging the big lumber in his last game especially. How much fun are you having watching him and coaching him?
Oh, man. It's way more fun than it is frustrating. I say it. I got to be honest, man. But it's exciting to see my son play, man. He got last game was his third little inside the park home run. It's funny watching those kids play, man. It's a joy to see those kids enjoying baseball, man.
You like the game? Are you a baseball guy?
No, I mean, you know what? I grew up playing football. I grew up playing sandlot baseball. I tried out for baseball, made a team, and then I quit 2 weeks in. That was the only thing I ever quit.
Too boring?
But I like watching baseball, man. I got a couple baseball friends out here in Orlando, man. D. Gordon, man, he's one of my good homies. So I stay tuned in to him, Mookie Betts, man. So a couple of the guys I done met before.
I got it. Wesley Woodyard is joining us. All right, let's talk a little bit of football. Why don't we start with the Titans and what they did to the Bears yesterday. Tennessee was coming off a pair of tough losses to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. How did they look to you yesterday, and how critical was it for them to get back on the winning track the way they did?
Man, I'm going to say these three names, A.J. Brown, Jayon Brown, and Jeffrey Simmons. They're going to be household names in the NFL for a long time. Man, but it was they were really beneficial to I don't know what was going on with Chicago, man. Nick Foles didn't wake up until the fourth quarter of that game. But the Titans defense, man, they got a couple holes in there they have to fix. And Ryan Tannehill, again, showed up and was able to, you know, manage that ball game with and eat up the clock. Derrick Henry didn't go over 100 yards. That's very rare nowadays. So, you know, man, overall, man, those Titans, they got a couple things to fix. But I think you're looking at a wild card, definitely, at worst-case scenario, a wild card team if they can't pull out these victories coming up versus the Colts.
We're talking to Wesley Woodyard. All right, so in terms of that matchup, you've got that Thursday night game. It's at home against Indianapolis. The Titans are 6-2. The Colts are 5-3. How big is that game then in terms of divisional play?
It's huge because, you know, in that division, either you're going to play Houston back-to-back or the Colts back-to-back if you're the Titans. And that's what's going to happen. Within the next 3 weeks, they're going to be seeing each other a lot. And new quarterback behind the snap, you know, Phillip Rivers. He's a game changer. Playing against this dude in San Diego, every time he got out there, it's a dub. And it's just like, that's what they're going to get a chance to go up against, man. And I think this is going to be a make or break it game for these guys going into the rest of the season. This is going to decide who that division belongs to.
Wesley Woodyard's my guest. Wesley, take me inside the facility. For instance, what is the turnaround from a Sunday game to a Thursday night game like? How are the guys feeling physically today? And then how do you go about preparing for a game so quickly after your previous game?
Man, you're pretty beat up. You know, you're pretty beat up mostly on those Monday to Tuesday nights. But I say Thursday, got a little swelling, you're a little sore, but if your coach is taking advantage of the opportunity and that's playing a primetime Thursday night game, let your guys recover. You're doing walkthroughs. You're having late meetings. You're enjoying yourself as a player because everything is relaxed, and that allows you. I know for me, it allowed me to lock into the game plan a little bit more and focus more. You get a chance to watch more film. So that's the things that are allowing teams to win on Thursday nights. That approach to that week, man, is very key. It's very the veteran guys have to rest up. If not, you're going to see guys falling by the wayside.
We're getting caught up with Wesley Woodyard, talking a little NFL ball with him. All right, so what about last night? Like, everybody was expecting the Saints-Buccaneers game to be a great game. I understand the NFL, you don't always get what you expect, especially this is such a strange year. But I'm not sure anybody expected that kind of a beatdown or that kind of a boat race. Like, how surprised were you by that? And what's that say about both of those teams individually?
First off, man, we were witnessing a record-breaking performance by potentially either one of those, two of the greatest quarterbacks to play this game, and Breeze and Brady. But last night showed me, showed the world that the NFC South still belongs to Drew Breeze. I had friends in the locker room talking about Tampa Bay. They were who we thought they were, and we didn't let them off the hook. They were beating those guys down, and they showed flashes of what Tampa Bay looked like last year. Now, don't get me wrong. They're still a great team. Brady was frustrated, and you could see that. You know, last night Brady came out there, and he thought that, you know, we're Tampa Bay. We're going to show up, and we're going to win. And nobody showed up to play for the Buccaneers, and that's why they got mollywopped going into the second quarter. The game was already over with. You know, you look at Brady trying to throw up shots and making plays, and the defense, they made some key plays, but it wasn't enough to contain a well-rounded team in New Orleans. And to me, I think that was an early showcase of, you know, one of the NFC championship favorites, if you ask me. If that New Orleans team is well put together, and you can see it, and they're really well coached, and it plays out that way. And Tom Brady is no longer in New England. Where that occasional fire alarm at 2 a.m. goes off and helps your team win, you are now have to win this game every year, every game. It's going to be a hard-fought game for the Bucs when they're playing physical, well-coached football teams like the Saints.
There's so much in that response that I like, especially the fact that they got mollywopped, and they did. And Wesley, like, we know the Saints, like you said, that's a well-oiled machine. They're extremely well-coached. They're motivated. They're professional. Is there something even above and beyond that for that matchup? I mean, they got Tampa Bay coming in. They want to make sure that everybody knows that the division still runs through them. Is it me, or do they play with even more of a chip on their shoulder than even they normally might because of what was at stake and who they were playing?
I think definitely that showed. You know, the Saints knew and they recognized the magnitude of this game. I don't think the Buccaneers, youth of their roster, really kind of understood it, because the Buccaneers have not had this quality of a game in years. That the New Orleans Saints, they have this game almost week in and week out. And you can really see it showed, the experience of that team showed last night.
We're talking to Wesley Woodyard. Okay, so what about Tom Brady? You mentioned that he was frustrated. Where do you think that frustration is coming from specifically? Obviously, the butt-kicking. Nobody wants that on a big stage. But he did look really frustrated. What do you think that source of frustration is for him?
You know, I think it came down to Tom really seeing, like, he could see early, things aren't going my way. And once that game kept going on, you know, I think he kind of tried to go into complete playmaker mode, throwing up shots, forcing passes in here, you know, and it really showed. Like I said, man, those guys were really at his head, and Tom is not good with pressure. They were playing great defensive ball, and I think the New Orleans Saints, man, they're very key chess players. Like, they move a lot of pieces around and make you be accountable for a lot of things. So I think that frustrated Tom, knowing that, man, I'm no longer in New England, where the football IQ and awareness is through the roof on my team. And in every little moment of the game, I could potentially lose, and it can cost my team 7 points, or it can cost my team an early night. And I think you saw that early last night in that first quarter by the New Orleans Saints.
Wesley Woodyard joining us for a few more moments. Let me get into the Lumberjacks power rankings, all right? So who do you have on top? Is it Kansas City, or is it Pittsburgh, and why?
I'm sorry, man. The things that Kansas City do, one loss, two losses, three losses, they're still going to be number one. You got to beat them, man. Andy Reid is a great mastermind. So Kansas City's number one. Pittsburgh undefeated. Yes, they've proven themselves that they are a true undefeated team at number two. The Saints last night, we all witnessed it. Seattle's coming in at fourth. Baltimore at five. And I still got Tampa Bay, you know, pulling in the top ten. They're going to round out. They're going to come at number six. But my dark horse is the Miami Dolphins, and here's why. Right now, it's tour time in Miami. it's time for the Fins to win. They're sitting at 5-3, my man, and they're going to their next opponents. They got the Chargers. They're playing in Denver. They're playing the New York Jets, the Cincinnati Bengals. They got a potential chance to go 4-0 in this third quarter of the season. And going into December, you're sitting at 9-3. Come on, man, that's scary. That's a scary Miami Dolphins team where not only just me, but the whole world thought that Miami pretty much basically threw in the chips and said, hey, we're going to bench Fitzpatrick and we're going to give up this season. I think that shows a great character by the Miami Dolphins team. And to me, that's why they're my dark horse. And I think they're going to be, you're definitely watching a future wild card team. And who would even think this? The Miami Dolphins has a chance to win their division. That's crazy. I haven't imagined saying that in a long time.
No, no doubt about that. I think it's going to be tough right now or this season with Buffalo playing as well as they are. But you're right. I mean, they're going to figure in this thing. They're 5-3. Their defense is playing well. It is Tua time. Wesley, really quickly, you mentioned the Chargers. Like, I understand that in this league, you got to bounce back quickly, right? You have to have a short memory. I would imagine also, though, that every loss is a tough loss. If you're the Chargers and you go down the way they keep going down, this is not a one-off. This is not one bad day or them getting their hearts ripped out of their chest once. It happens seemingly every single week, and each week is worse than the week before. What do you think their mindset is right now? What's it like, that collective psyche of that team, for them to lose the way they do, and especially this past weekend?
Man, you know what? It's the way you lose. And if I was the Chargers and we're getting blown out week in and week out, I would have no faith. But you got to keep the faith, man. They've been struggling the past 2 years with losing close games. I think Phillip Rivers, I think that he might have lost 7 or 8 games last year by under 6 points, including I was a victim of one of those victories in Tennessee myself, forcing a fumble flight. You know, a little plug for the Lumberjack.
Of course.
But if I'm a Chargers fan, I'm not giving up, man. You know, Herbert is playing great, and I think that's where you look at. That's the key of the team, man. You know, that division is always going to be tough. Playing in that division for 6 years. It was a division winner almost every other year, and you can't give up hope, man. The Chargers fans out there, you got a good young team. Keenan Allen is a leader in the locker room. They got some great pieces in place. They just got to find ways to win those games at the end because, like you said, man, well, you didn't say this, but I think you kind of hinted at it. Bad teams find a way to lose those games, and good teams find a way to win those games. So they got to get on that right track. But I wouldn't give up on them just yet.
I think they're a good team. I think it takes a pretty good team to have a 16-point lead 4 games in a row. I mean, just to be in that position, you got to be a pretty good team, right? But then they found a way to lose them.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I even look at my Falcons, man. The same thing goes there. But, you know, you gotta. That's where it comes to being a young quarterback. The quarterback of that team, man, you got to be a true leader. It all revolves around the quarterback. If I'm going to go out there and put up 300 yards, 400-plus yards a game, 3-4 touchdowns, my team needs to know and respect that lead. And I think that's where it comes into leadership, you know, as well as, you know, coaches managing that game. But leadership in that team has to start because anybody can go up 17 and just quit. But anybody can't go up 17 and continue to put that throttle down. And I think that's where the Chargers are at. They need to mature, and they got to mature fast because at AFC West, that's the only way you're going to be able to compete with Kansas City is if you're on the full throttle gas every play, every day.
So, Wesley, one last thought. When you talk about this generation of young quarterbacks, like you start with Patrick Mahomes, who to me is just a transcendent generational talent. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like it. Let me just ask you really quickly about one guy. To me, I think a real outlier is Kyler Murray. Like, I'm in love with the way this guy plays, his athleticism, what he brings to it. What do you think, as somebody who played as long as you have in that league at as high a level as you have, when you watch him play, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Man, the first thing that comes to my mind is X factor. And an X factor, having an X factor at quarterback, that automatically gives you a chance to win the game. And I'm sorry. Like, I played with Tim Tebow. You know, he had that X factor. Even though we didn't get as many passing yards as we wanted to, you just felt like you were going to win with that man behind the quarterback. Same thing with Kyler Murray. He goes out there week in and week out, and he's doing – joystick moves on guys. So now he's creating that fear within the NFL bubble. So now when they get a chance to play the Arizona Cardinals, you got to make sure that you're not only putting two guys aware of Tua, the whole defense is on high alert when he gets the ball. Not when he's just passing the ball. Now when he's running the ball, he's making the first defender miss. He's making the second defender miss. Oh, okay, this is your best tackling DB in the backfield. Okay, let me make him miss and score this touchdown. So now that's a complete X factor when you can run the ball as well as you can throw the ball and create not only 5 yards here, but explosive plays, plays over 20 yards, and that's what Kyler Murray does.
He spent the last six seasons with the Titans. He was their 2017 recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, the co-founder of the 16 Ways Foundation, good friend of the program, Wesley Woodyard. Wesley, fam, great to have you back. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for doing that.
All right, good to hear from you, Jim. Stay up, Jungle.
My man, Wesley Woodyard, love him. I love him tagging that conversation with Stay Up, Jungle. Oh, it's so positive, man. Great energy, great enthusiasm. All right, quickly, Rome Slice. Chipotle, 4 to 5 times a day? That's still cheaper than the second mortgage I had to take out to eat at my favorite restaurant. Regards, Five Guys customer. Unwar, Five Guys sending customers' bills to collections. What, they're a collection agencies trying to collect on Five Guys bills? Are they that expensive? I don't know. I never, ever eat fast food burgers that are not from In-N-Out, so I don't really know. Imagine, like, don't pick it up. It's the collections agency. They're trying to collect on our Five Guys bill. Come on, that never happens. They're not that expensive, are they? All right, so we'll come back. And when we do, I want to get into Tom v. Drew. Not what we thought. Not what we expected. When was the last time you saw Brady as frustrated as he was last night? We'll get into that matchup. And Bills Mafia, hey, look, if you're not going to call, I'll still give you my thoughts. I thought they were so impressive on both sides of the ball. In fact, in all three phases, all of a sudden they look like a legitimate Super Bowl threat. Everybody still has to go through Kansas City. It's still the Chiefs and everybody else. But the Chiefs do have to beat somebody to get to the Super Bowl, and it might be the Bills. Ultimately, that might be their biggest challenge, even more so than Pittsburgh. Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, your maintenance, or your restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered then. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. So when it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. Or if your battery does need to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your car. Like Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Designed to meet the electrical demands of today's cars. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com/safety. Or just stop by. Dear Rome, tell Wesley that every Little League home run is an inside the park home run. Regards, that three-piece screwdriver set and pack of 1987 Tops. Francis in Glendale. War Rich Flores using broken tortilla chips as guitar picks. See, that's not true. Well, maybe in Little League, but that's like one of the moments of our parenthood that we'll never forget. So Janet Rome, who's married to me, Jim Rome. Janet Rome, as many of you know, before we had kids, had a really successful career. My wife Janet did really, really well professionally. In fact, when I met her, she did way better than me. Made more money, was more successful, more respected, still more respected. Definitely better liked and still better, still more well-respected. But when we had kids, she stopped working because she wanted to be a mom. That was her choice, and she loved her career. So as part of being a mom, Janet is, for anybody who knows my wife, Janet, she's just all in, all day, every day, no days off. I mean, her kids are her life, for sure. Her old man, too, but I mean, she's all in on the kids. And so we laugh that Janet's like part agent, part mom, part, like, she does everything. But especially for the kids, and especially athletically, every practice, every game, she's never missed anything, ever, 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 for any reason. So with travel ball, as many of you parents know, there's always a doubleheader, and as part of the doubleheader, you got to always have food. You have to have lunch between games. So there's always like a Subway run or something like that. So Jake is playing travel ball, and Janet's never missed anything, 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 anything. Jake's problem when he played baseball, and he played up until senior year in high school, he'd squeeze it pretty tight. Like, he'd turn the bat to sawdust, to use a phrase. They don't use wooden bats anymore. But I'd always say, try easier, try easier. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. He got through one stretch, though, when he was, like, hot, just on fire, and was squaring everything up. She goes to get to lunch. He gets one, like, in his eyes and went upstairs to get it, tomahawked it. And I'm like, holy bleep. He hits his first home run of his life, and it was not an inside the park job either. I mean, go over the center field fence, and I'm like, my jaw's on the ground. I'm like, that's not his game at all. Like, he was batting leadoff. He played center field. And the parents are going crazy, and everything's amazing, and Jake just can't believe what he did, and I can't believe what he did. And it literally is one of the finest moments of my life. Not his life, my life. I'd never been so proud of anything I had done. I was more proud of him hitting that home run way over the center field fence than I was of anything I'd ever accomplished in my career. And now it hits me like, oh my God, Janet missed it. She's never missed anything. She went to get the Sando. And she's coming back like she always is, gigantic smile on her face, bouncing around. Hi, did I miss anything? I'm like, You know, produced a baseball that some kid ran and got for me. Just that your kid turned it around like 375. She's still not right. Like, Jake hasn't picked up a bat in years, and she's still not right. So it's not true. That wasn't Little League, that was travel ball. But sometimes they do leave the park. In terms of that screwdriver set, yeah, that's something else I never got over. Sherman Oaks Little League used to give us screwdriver sets. And not just any screwdriver set, but like these 4-inch screwdrivers. And they weren't just screwdrivers. Screwdrivers, Phillips, like 20 in a case. To which my old man, who thought that he could fix everything but could fix nothing, says to me, Hey, that's not a toy. Yeah, I know, Dad. I wish it were. What the hell am I going to do with this screwdriver set? You're going to make me fix something with that, aren't you? You and me are going out on Saturday with our 4-inch screwdrivers, multicolored handles, and we're going to fix something that's not broken, aren't we? I know we are. After you make me listen to your jazz music and drive around town looking for antiques that we don't know, need, or we don't want. As far as Flores using tortilla chips as guitar picks, I've already covered that issue. Homeless people do not use food as props. Hey, Jim. Jets v. Patriots tonight is the NFL equivalent to fat porn.
Fat?
Do that again. Albie?
Fat?
Porn?
Fat?
Porn?
Fat?
Porn?
Fat?
Now we're getting somewhere. The Jets-Patriots game tonight is the NFL equivalent to fat porn.
Fat?
You don't really want to watch it, but hey, it's porn. Sign pervs. Paul in Albany wore a Harbag, getting fired, and coaching the Jets next season. Man, that would be rich.
Who's got it better than us?
Everybody! They deserve each other. Who's got it better than us? Man, everybody. Whoever plays us. Michigan State does. Indiana does. Wisconsin will this weekend. Who even knows their quarterback situation? And they haven't played in weeks.
Gobble, gobble.
The equivalent of fat porn.
Fat?
Porn?
Fat?
You shouldn't be body shaming people at this point. Or porn shaming people at this point. Much less combining the two of those things. Who you got? Last line I saw was minus 10. minus 10. If you're a true degenerate and you're not there for the, quote, fat porn.
Fat.
That's a tough phrase right there, fat porn.
Fat.
It's kind of unnecessary and in bad form, too, I might add. If you're at that game tonight and you got to watch that game, right? And you're not me and you're not paid to watch that game. Are you going to watch that game if you're not getting down? And if you are getting down, how are you going to play that game? Like, there's no way you're taking crazy eyes in the Jets, but are you really going to lay 10 if you're the Patriots and you can't trust them at all and they're nowhere near what they were? I'll tell you what, man, I think I'd rather watch FP.
Fat.
Wow. I don't know. That's luckily they pay me to watch it, so I will. Who you got? I'm not bringing the fathead in for this either. That's a Friday thing. Fathead bets. We're not talking fat porn or fathead. Come on, man. Class it up. Albany, you're better than that, Albany. At least I thought you were. I know you should be. All right, so what I still am trying to get to, I've left a couple of really fat topics on the bone. Saints and Bucks. Fat matchup last night. I haven't broken it all down yet. The Bills were really impressive. They had to beat somebody who mattered. They had not done that. They had to beat somebody who mattered. Great. You beat everybody that you're supposed to beat. Nobody cares about that. You did that last year. They had to beat somebody who mattered, and they did. And not only did they beat Seattle, they beat them down. So I'm trying to get there, too. Or if it's a good enough phone call, I'll put all that aside, and I'll come to you instead. 1-800-636-8686. And that phrase, fat porn?
Fat.
I'm going to put a moratorium on that. I don't want to hear that ever again. There's no need for that. When we come back, we'll see. What I'm saying to you is this, in case there's any confusion whatsoever. If you utter that phrase again on this show, fat porn, you will be blocked.
Fat.
Almost nobody gets blocked.
Blocked.
You will be. You've been warned. All of you. One strike and you're out. I'm serious. Now, look at me. Do I not look serious? One strike and you're out. Let's get to a sports update. Welcome back. Got to get an ATP in here. It's Monday. It's a fixed segment. We always have it at this time. So we'll do it right now. It is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Okay, quickly. ATP. Is somebody going to break the streak? Is somebody going to break the chain? Will it be somebody other than Bella B? She's better at it than all of you.
They're all buttholes out there. They really are.
I didn't say that. Just because she's better at it doesn't mean that the rest of you are buttholes. It just means she's the queen of the ATP. Dear Jim. Actually, hi, Jim.
Butthole.
I'm sorry, Alvin. You should go ahead and finish what you started.
Butthole.
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 Isn't it amazing? Well, isn't it amazing that we've not heard from Rex today, given that the subject matter of the program? It's amazing that that phrase, a rather ugly phrase, has been uttered as many times as it has in public and or on this show, that we actually have a library of buttholes.
Butthole.
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 Hi, Jim. If you had to give up one of these foods forever, what would it be? Pizza, wings, burgers, steak. Thanks. Bella B in Calgary. Let me run that down really quickly. If you had to give up one of these foods forever, what would it be? Pizza. Oh, hell no. Hell no. Wings. Definitely. Burgers. Kind of ambivalent. Steak. No. No, I'm a steak guy. I'm a steak guy and a pizza guy.
Hell no.
Oh, hell no. Wings would be easy to walk away from. Yeah, no problem with that. Hi, Jim. Your wife had a really successful career. Not as successful as mine. Regards, Silk Bra. War stay-at-home dads with no kids. Jeremy surrounded by meth in Montana. That's a good war. A stay-at-home dad with no kids. In other words, He's just staying at home. All right. He doesn't just stay at home. He's a substitute teacher.
Bruh.
And it's not like he's homeschooling, right? He has no kids. Romy, we are in desperate need of a screwdriver set. Regards, IKEA enthusiasts. Come on, Ashley. You too?
War lady clones.
Ashley, I can't war you if you're going without the red. Come on, don't do that. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. All right, now, I think I mispronounced her name once before. I'm going to be very careful in how I say this. Hopefully, she does not correct me. Argel, let's go to New Orleans. Argel, what's going on?
Hey, Jim. So, in 2010, when the Saints won their Super Bowl, it was on February 7th. And then Mardi Gras was February 16th. Well, guess what's going to happen in 2021, Jim? The Super Bowl is, again, going to be on February 7th. And Mardi Gras is going to be on February 16th. We're going to win that game again in Florida like we did in 2010. We're going to celebrate Lombardi Gras. Drew Brees is going to ride into the sunset. Taysom Hill is going to be our new quarterback. And then we're going to draft Trevor Lawrence.
That'd be something, wouldn't it, Argel? All right, thank you very much. She's calling her shot. Hey, listen, it was only about a week ago, right? Less than a week ago. When I was right here on this show saying that everybody who had been handing the Tampa Bay Bucks the trophy in November might want to settle the hell down. That they were coming off that ugly, awkward win over the Giants, where they looked nothing like a Super Bowl team. But a lot of you just chalked that up to them being on the road, and who knows what other excuses that you want to throw out there. And despite a bad performance, I mean a bad performance, folks were still getting all hyped up on the Bucks, and they were still on their Super Bowl bandwagon before last night's game against the Saints. Admit it. You were still on that last night. Like, AB's coming in. They're on the big stage. They're in prime time. That was a one-off. That was them on the road against the Giants. Didn't matter. Who cares? Yeah, well, holy crap. How bad does it look right now? How bad does it look one day later? New Orleans, 38. Tampa Bay 3, the worst loss of Tom Brady's career. One of the worst big game performances I have ever seen. A 35-point hospital job. And honestly, it wasn't even that close. A 5-touchdown hospital job that wasn't even that close. I mean, that was supposed to be some kind of battle between Brady and Breeze. Yet it ends with Jameis Winston eating a W on camera in the post-game interview. And then grubbing on that W again in the locker room dance party afterwards. Not something I was expecting. I was expecting a competitive game. Instead, what we got was a curb stomping.
Breeze looked to throw a screen out to the right. Instead, he goes for the end zone. Back of the end zone. Is it caught? Yes. Touchdown. Wide open. Traquan Smith.
Yeah. What we got was a curb stomping. What we got was Argel saying that they would get Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, hey? Well, at least I got your name right that time, huh, Argel? Anyway, what we expected last night was a competitive game. What we got was a mug job.
Second and goal, he will take the snap with 3 seconds left in the corner. Throws for the end zone, and it's caught! Touchdown, Adam Troutman, the rookie tight end with his first career touchdown reception.
What we expected was a close game. What we got was a, he glossed me!
Breeze under center, drops the throw, throws it toward the end zone, full extension, diving catch! By Emmanuel Sanders. He missed the
last. We expected a great competitive game, and what we got, to quote the late, great Pat Tillman, was a nice, swift ass-kicking. 21-0 Saints. New Orleans had 3 TDs before Tampa Bay had a first down. 3 TDs before they had a first down. That's an unbelievable NFL ratio, a 3-to-1 ratio of TDs to first downs. A G-D boat race. And then when they finally got that first down, old man TB43 immediately had a pass tipped and picked.
Look out, and it's picked off, and he's
Onyemata, the lineman, the defensive lineman who comes up with it.
Uh-oh. Tampa Bay's offense had 36 yards in the first 20 minutes of that game. The Saints had nearly that many points in the first 20 minutes of that game. The Bucs look like the Jets out there, maybe even worse. I mean, as bad as the Jets are, I think even Crazy Eyes could have schemed his way to a first down in the first quarter. That was a straight ass-kicking. A straight ass-kicking on a big freaking stage. Not my words, but the words from one of the guys who got his ass straight kicked. Bruce Arians.
It was shocking to know, just watch us practice the way we practiced all week, the confidence we had coming in. We have to go back and look in the mirror, coaches, players, everybody just, they kicked our ass in every phase.
That's why I love BA. They did too. We have to go back and look in the mirror, every one of us. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess that'd be a pretty good place to start. But you better have a much more detailed response than just looking in the mirror after an ass-kicking like that. By the time we got to the second quarter, I would have been fine if they put a running clock on the rest of the game. I'm sure the Bucs would have been fine with that, too. Because if it wasn't Drew Brees carving them up, it was Taysom Hill running past, through, and over guys. Taysom Hill out there just snatching souls.
Yeah, Brees, well, he'd be one of the receivers there. He is at the top of the screen. Hill's going to take it himself, and Hill's going to run it inside the 20 with a hurdle. He jumps over Jordan Whitehead and sets them up just outside the 10.
Remember all that so-called polarization earlier this year about how Sean Payton uses him and Sean Payton's in love with Taysom Hill and finding a way to jam him into the offense and it brings everything to a grinding halt? Uh-huh. Yeah, how about last night? Yeah, I didn't see it either. He looked great last night. And it was the Saints' defense making Tom Brady's night a living hell. Three sacks, an intentional grounding, a ton of harassment, a lot of frustration. And not one, not two, but three INTs. Like they made it a point to hit this old man as early and as often as possible, which is exactly what they did, and it worked. You know that whole thing about you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable? Well, that old man's not. Time and time again, either he was missing receivers, either because of miscommunication, or he was getting clocked. That was the most un-Brady performance you're ever going to see, and it's because he took way more punishment than you normally see him take. If I didn't know any better, I would have thought that Triple G, Greg Williams, was back in there dialing up plays and telling his guys to affect the head.
Affect the head. Early, affect the head. Continue, touch and hit the head.
That guy couldn't have been more clear about that back in the day. Affect the head. Early, touch the head. Stomp on the head. Take a bat to the head. And one more thing about Brady. I know that they're trying to get on the same page, but I thought this guy had the best chemistry ever with his receivers. If that's the case, why did he have none last night? And the Bucs couldn't even come close to running the ball either. A total of 8 rushing yards on the night. 8. Shaq Barrett said, quote, it was a collapse. A total team collapse.
This was a collapse, a total team collapse.
That's a perfect description of what that was. A total team collapse. So now what are you thinking about that Tampa Bay bandwagon? I'm not saying that their season ended last night. I'm not saying that. Here's what I am saying. Everybody can have a bad night, even Super Bowl contenders. But Super Bowl contenders never get curb stomped like that. There's nothing about that performance that says Super Bowl contender. Super Bowl contenders do not get ragdolled like that. They don't get shut out, which effectively they were. Like, nobody cares about that would-be, face-saving, bullcrap field goal late in the game. I mean, why even kick that? Just take that shutout the way you should. So what I'm saying is the Bucs aren't who we thought they were. And if you want to crown their ass, crown their ass.
They crown their ass.
But you're probably going to end up looking really bad if you do. Not as bad as they looked last night, but pretty bad nonetheless. And what about AB? Wasn't Antonio Brown supposed to take that offense to an even higher level? Isn't that why Bruce Arians, who had worked with Brown in Pittsburgh and initially said they didn't need him and he didn't want anything to do with him, acquiesced to TB43 and brought him in because he was the alleged missing piece, the difference between winning it all and not? Isn't that the only reason why you'd bring that guy in? Instead, what you got was AB celebrating a catch down 31-0 late in the third quarter. I mean, good stuff, Antonio. Way to be locked in. Look, I'm not going to say that they aren't ready for prime time, the Bucks. Actually, you know what? I will say that. That's exactly what I'll say. Let me point out the three night games they played this year and the following results. They lost to the Bears when Tom Brady forgot what down it was. They barely beat the Giants, and they got humiliated by the Bucks. So no, the Bucks aren't nearly as dangerous as we thought they were, but the Saints are more so. So give them some bleeping credit for real.
You give them some credit, I mean, for real.
Better than we thought they were. And what do you know? Drew Brees isn't all up in here with a noodle, and he can still get it down the field.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Huge call, sponsored by Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Capital One Shopping, what's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons do vary. My thanks to Wesley Woodyard, friend of the show. My thanks to Tom Allen, head football coach at Indiana. And Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. My thanks to the XR4TI. Appreciate you, clones. Thank you very much for listening and tweeting and hitting me up on email. See you tomorrow. We're out.